Okay, our next presenter is Navneet Brar from the University of Manitoba.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to present some of the data from our corn crop rotation study. So the title of my presentation is Does Preceding Crop Affect the Growth and Corn Grain Yield in Manitoba? So in Manitoba, with the recent development of high-yielding, early maturing variety hybrids, there has been a new interest in the corn growing areas. So mainly at present, corn is mainly grown in this south central part here, but it is spreading through the southern area. This is because there is a long frost-free period of 120 to 140 days. And this, the average rainfall in this area is around 376 millimeters. So as this is a long season crop, and it is seeded in May and harvested in October in Manitoba. So the main crops that are seeded in Manitoba are canola and wheat, and they had been the dominant cropping system there. But recently with the more acreage under soybean and corn, there has been an opportunity to diversify this canola wheat cropping system. As the corn is a new crop, so there are some limiting factors, or what we say there is a limiting factor for corn grain yield, as it depends upon the phosphorus uptake during the early periods of its growth. And this phosphorus uptake, this corn, it depends upon the mycorrhiza that is present in the soil. So the main objective of our study was to identify the best crop in a cropping system that would not affect the grain yield or early season crop, early vegetative growth of corn, and to identify which crop would be the best in a cropping system. So coming on to the treatments that we had, so these were the preceding crops, and they were canola, corn, wheat, and soybean. So these crops were seeded as per the agronomic practices that are recommended for the province, and these crops were harvested for grain yield, and then the residues were incorporated into the soil in the fall. In the following year, the corn was planted in all these treatments such that there is a sequence of canola corn, corn, soybean corn, and wheat corn. And in all these treatments, 26-28 hybrid was planted with a row spacing of 78 centimeters. So this trial was established in Carmel, Manitoba to have three crop sequences, of which 2014-15 and 15-16 have been completed, but 16 is still ongoing. So the measurements that were done during this corn test crop were on biomass phosphorus uptake at V6 and silking stage. Also, plant height was measured, and percentage of plant silking was counted, and there was some measurements done on crop dry down, grain yield, and mycorrhizal colonization at V6 and silking stage. So coming on to the results, the treatment crops that were the residues which were incorporated had a CN ratio that may affect the availability of the nutrients. So here we find that corn residue had significantly higher CN ratio. So there is some possibility that the mineral nutrients may be immobilized or less available to the plant, to the corn. But when we did a spring soil test before planting of the corn test crop, there were no significant differences in total mineral land in the top 60 centimeter soil profile in 2015. Before planting of 2015 corn test crop, but in 2016, where we had wheat as a treatment crop, there was significantly lower mineral N in the top 60 centimeter soil profile. However, the Olson P content that was measured in the top 15 centimeter of the soil, there were no significant differences due to these treatment crops. such that, like, before growing of a corn test crop, the Olsen P content was similar in all the treatments. So now coming on to some of the growing season, 2015 crop, a corn test crop was a normal season. Precipitation was 105% of the normal, and it was evenly distributed. So it was a very good year for this corn test crop. Whereas 2016, it was a year of challenges and contrast. This was a wet year with 122% of the normal that led to some waterlogged conditions, and also there were some hailstorm events that occurred. Two major hailstorm events that occurred, and that resulted in some green snap. So for the analysis of this, we used green snap as a covariate. So analysis of covariance was done for this data. And both the years were treated as fixed years because they were different from each other. So coming to the results, the corn plant height, as you can see in on the y-axis is plant height and on x-axis are the treatment crops. So where we had a canola crop, canola as a treatment crop, the plant height was the shortest as compared to others, and soybean treatment crop had the highest plant height. And this trend was similar in 2016, though we had a significant covariate. The shorter plant height in canola is due to is a typical symptom of phosphorus deficiency, because there is a reduction when there is a phosphorus deficiency, there is a reduction in the cell metabolism, like the cell expansion, and less of photosynthesis occurs. So that's why the plants were shorter in this. And this similar trend was seen when dry matter was collected at V6 stage, as here also where we had the canola treatment, there was less dry matter in both the years and higher dry matter in soybean treatment. And when samples were collected at silking stage, there was no difference between canola treatment and other treatments, but only soybean treatment had higher dry matter yield in 2015, whereas in 2016, no differences were observed in the dry matter yield. So coming on to the phosphorus uptake, so this had a similar trend to dry matter yield as well as to the plant height. Like canola treatment, it showed lesser phosphorus uptake at V6 stage in both the years, 2015 and 16. Though in 16, we do have some significant covariate. And at silking stage, this effect, canola treatment, it disappeared, and it had similar phosphorus uptake as other treatments in 2015, but there was no difference in phosphorus uptake in 2016. So coming on to the number of plants that were silking, so this was done in the central two rows on 60 plants, and over a period of 3 weeks, the plants were counted for silking. And here we find, like, if you look at the green canola treatment, it had significantly lesser plants silking as compared to soybean, which is in black color. In 2015, there was some interaction between treatment as well as treatment and days in planting. Whereas in 2016, we didn't find any difference in the treatments, and there was some difference with the days as there was increase in plant silking, which was obvious to observe. Coming on to cob dry down, so this cob moisture is important for the farmers in Manitoba because it adds an additional cost of drying, because most farmers mostly harvest corn when it is at 30%. So in 2015, when we looked at the treatment effects, it was found that there was some interaction between canola and days after planting, and where we had a canola treatment, it had higher percentage of moisture. So if you look at when the moisture content is 30%, there was a difference of about 6 days between soybean and canola. So canola was 6 days behind to reach the 30% moisture content in 2015. However, there were no differences found in the treatment in 2016, or there was no interaction. So coming on to the grain yield, as there was early season differences in crop growth, but we couldn't find any differences in grain yield in 2015 as well as in 2016. So even though we had some differences in early year, early season, early vegetative growth, but this didn't turn into the grain yield differences. This could be due to these mycorrhizae that are present in the soil. So these mycorrhizae, they form, they colonize on the corn roots and help it to explore the soil more for the immobile nutrients such as phosphorus and zinc. So in 2015, as you can see here, where we had the canola crop, the hyphal colonization was about 25% as compared to where we had corn or soybean, which had higher percentage of hyphae colonizing the corn roots. In 2016, same differences were also were observed, but also in the arbuscules, like the total percentage of roots being colonized by mycorrhizae were lower where we had canola as compared to corn. So from here, it can be said like if we have a mycorrhizal crop such as corn or soybean, it helps in early establishment of the mycorrhizae in the next succeeding corn crop. Whereas if we have canola, it would delay, and there would be some delay in the colonization of mycorrhizae on corn roots. So the mycorrhizal colonization were also scored at silking stage. Here we find that canola had similar mycorrhizal hyphae colonization as corn or soybean in 2015, but in 2016 there were no differences observed in either in hyphae or arbuscules colonization. So coming on to the summary of this, is that preceding crops can affect the early growth of corn, particularly when we have the canola corn sequence, as there is lesser dry matter yield and lesser phosphorus uptake at V6. Plants are shorter at V7 stage. There had been some delay in plant silking, and this is all due to the lesser mycorrhizae hyphae at V6 stage, though the grain yields were similar in all the treatments. So at the end, I would like to thank the funding agencies, Manitoba Corn Growers, Western Greens, and Growing Forward too. And I thank you all for listening to me. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. Yes, so the tillage was same for all the treatments, and so fertilizer was applied based on the soil test report for all
broadcast
the
treatments.
It was broadcast.
Yeah. The tillage was the same, which means what?
So tillage was, no, it was reduced, like when the residues was incorporated, then at that time it was one tillage, and then when seeding was done, then the another tillage. So
and what was the residue amounts, like what sort of yields levels were obtained for these previous crops, and was all of the, like was it a grain corn program with all residue except the grain return?
Yeah, all residue was returned into the field and only the grain was taken out. So it depended upon the yield of each crop.